fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right, it's Thursday night, it's 8 p.m., and you're right where you should be listening to your radio for Common Sense Radio so we can sift through all the propaganda and fake news and figure out what's really going on out there. And I appreciate you tuning in. I know some of you on Dauphin Island are sitting out in your car listening on the car radio, or some of you are streaming at FMTalk1065.com, or you're on your smartphone using that cool app TuneIn, and you're listening to Common Sense Radio to get the truth, to get to the nuggets, to get through all the garbage that we get from everywhere, from the government, from the media, all that. And it's Common Sense Radio, and we come back to you incredibly every week. It's incredible that we are allowed, the FCC, the NSA, the FBI, the DHS, CIA, whoever else, that they have not stopped us yet. We are still here. And every week we come across crisp and clear to you over very many mediums of the airwaves and cyberspace, because we have dedicated engineer here. Although a young and budding engineer, he has made sure that our electrons have a choice. Some are masked, some are not. Some are vaccinated, some are not. But they are all ready to do their job. They revel in the freedom of choice that they've had to be the individual electrons that they want to be because of the magnanimity of our young budding engineer, Ian Blair.
Man, I tell you, Pete, that's got to be some sort of superhero, like, somewhere out there being able to control electrons. But I appreciate that introduction. What's going on, everybody? Like I said, man, it feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, it's a lot. A lot happens in one week.
A lot of weeks. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Classes are starting up in 4 days. Things are ready to get back into session. And man, I tell you, it is. It feels like I'm back somewhere.
Yeah. Well, all I can tell you is enjoy the classes,
mm-hmm.
because the real world, after you get out of college, the rest of your life, you're going to be talking about your college days.
Those
were actually pretty good days.
Yep.
So enjoy them to the fullest.
I kind of aspire to make it to where, no matter where I'm at in life, and I feel like everyone can learn from this. An old mentor of mine put it to me this way: you should not have a prime like a lot of athletes do. Each season should be better than the previous.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
There is no such thing as a prime. Your best version of yourself is you on the deathbed.
Keep going. I mean,
you keep improving.
He's too young to be this wise.
That's right. Look, yeah, absolutely. And I'm all about the seasons, because I'm quite seasoned at this point. And I like it all.
I'm just salty.
Yeah, you're salty.
I'm very salty.
And I'm seasoned.
Yep.
But hey, and we have, as you've heard chiming in here, the Director of Quality Assurance. So we have adult supervision tonight. And our head of the research department, executive producer, co-host, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor's in the...
Great to be here.
Always great to be here.
Yeah, on the run. Yeah.
Yes, are we? We got way more stuff than we can cover. A couple things I want to get out of the box, just because I want to mention it and don't want to get too deep into the program. Folks, our Mobile, South Alabama, lost a great American, a great patriot, and a hero to many, a pillar of the veterans community in South Alabama, Bill Atkinson, who was the Mobile Bay, to 2019 Mobile Bay Area Veteran of the Year. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he did so many things. I need the whole hour to recount everything he did in the veterans community. And sadly, he passed away on Monday. Don't know about any arrangements yet, but I want to give a shout out to him and his service, and that we salute Bill Atkinson, the Mobile Bay Area 2019 Veteran of the Year. He will be sorely missed, because whether it's, you know, the South Alabama Veterans Council, the Oaklawn Cemetery, the Memorial Day celebrations, he was in everything, and he did so many things, and he really was. And the consummate Vietnam veteran, he has his own little fame from when he was in Vietnam. He There's a great picture, and it's at the battleship. You can see it in the Vietnam section where his unit, when they had a little bit of downtime, there's a little hill nearby, and they erected a wooden cross.
Oh.
For them to have to look over their camp. It was on, overlooking their camp, a little hill. And it's a great wooden, great picture of all these young guys. And you can see a young Bill there, scrawny. He was scrawny then. He didn't stay scrawny, but he was scrawny then. Tall and lanky, but he was part of that group that erected that cross, and it's sort of like a Iwo Jima moment, the flag raising on Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Just a great, our hearts go out to him, to his family, prayers. We know Bill's in a better place, but we are really, really going to miss Bill Atkinson, the Mobile Bay Area Veteran of the Year
patriot.
For 2019. What a
great
and a patriot. He was very active in the Tea Party.
Yeah, that's
from
what
the
I mean.
Beginning.
Like, he paid attention to everything.
Everything. Yeah, great patriot. He did the newsletter. I don't know who's going to do the newsletter for the South Alabama Veterans Council. He's done that for years.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
we
he's
are,
one of those. Everyone will be like, well, who's going to do it now? I mean, he's just been a fixture.
He's a fixture
in the community of veterans.
There's a huge vacuum left by Bill Atkinson. Bill, we salute you. We know you're up there. And, God bless you. And Kathy, we hope that you're recovering, and we love you, and we just want you to know that the veterans community stands with you, and whatever support we can give to you. Salute, Bill Atkinson.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I want to get that out of the way. Lots of things going on. I don't even know if we're going to get to everything today. Apparently Afghanistan is collapsing, which is crazy. I mean, it's a sorry place anyway, and I mean, you can't expect too much there. But now, because they seem to be bungling the withdrawal, today Biden ordered 3,000 troops back to protect the withdrawal and get the embassy out. And I'm not going to say that's a bad move, because they have a lot of problems. It's probably a prudent move to protect the withdrawal, get the embassies evacuated.
Yeah.
But whatever our policies have been there for 20 years, it's pretty pitiful that after 20 years we've been there, it basically, we left it as bad or worse than it was.
Yeah.
And that's just sad. And then the disturbing thing we got to watch is apparently the Chinese are quite happy to fill the vacuum. The Chinese are getting involved.
Well,
and I don't think they're sending their military, but they want to send their influence, the Chinese Communist Party with the Taliban. So that's not going to be good for anybody. Watch, probably more terrorism is going to start coming out of that place.
Well, if you think about, in my mind, I was just thinking here, you would almost think terrorism's all dried up. It's not even happening because it's not reported on anymore.
No.
I do hear about a little bit about this stuff since the troop withdrawal. I did hear also this week for the first time China and Russia have done some war games in a more advanced way than they ever have before.
That's not good.
Can we just say the word chaos?
Yes. There is chaos.
Because of Biden.
Yes.
Again, America has been that one anchor, and with Israel, and both of the leadership from Israel and the United States,
it's missing.
NATO,
I mean, America was coming back. We were getting stronger, and our economic house was in order. We were leading in the world. Our allies knew where we stood, because they didn't always stand with us, but they knew where we stood and what they needed to do. Our enemies were afraid to
come. We weren't begging OPEC.
We weren't, and that's exactly right, because here we are, not just chaos, there is stupidity going on. Trump made the United States energy independent for the first time in like half a century, and we have already lost it due to the regulations, canceling the Keystone Pipeline, canceling all the offshore drilling leases and all that stuff. And now Biden is begging OPEC for more oil.
And here's the
instead
insanity
of Texas.
The insanity of the left is this: because of the sound bites that CNN and their cohorts run, the Democrats will still say, oh, but look, he's really rooting for America. Like, he'll still get credit because they'll make it look like, you know, they won't put the whole puzzle together that, oh, by the way, gas is $4 in New Jersey because the idiot in chief here decided to make us oil dependent again.
Again.
They will not put that together, but they'll hear sound bites of him, and they're like, look, he's trying to get the mean oil
people to let us
have cheap gas again. And
it's
just
insane.
This maddening cycle.
No, yep. It's insane that we're asking OPEC. And because you know what? If we're buying from OPEC, guess what? Some of that money's going to go to terrorism again. I mean, that was one of the reasons we wanted to get out of that.
Yep.
And the insanity goes all over the place. Illegal migrant apprehensions are up 420% at the southern border. Biden inflation, household goods inflation made its biggest increase since 1980 in over 40 years. And then we're trying to stay afloat in this ocean of chaos. And what do we have? 19 Senate Republicans on the infrastructure bill, which, yes, we need infrastructure, but it's packed with all sorts of Green Deal crap and Democrat giveaway. And a lot of cylinder type stuff, Democrat money laundering, where, yeah, we give it to these people who then turn around and give it back to the Democrats.
And it was the normal common subjects, Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, Liz Cheney.
Lindsey Graham is like, oh, come on, Lindsey.
And the guy from Mississippi.
Yeah.
Even Mississippi.
Well, he's going Wicker. Is it Wicker?
I think.
No, but he's well, these guys are going off the rails. What's going on?
It's bad,
although there are some theories about it. I don't know if we have time to get into it. I had somebody tell me a theory that these guys were giving a bone to the Democrats so they would get off the filibuster.
Well,
and I don't know
I've heard
that's
that
true.
Too, but I don't know.
All right, we're at the break. Look, we will be back with calls and texts and more good stuff at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And hey, one of our sponsors is Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. And folks, if you're looking for a church home, you really need to consider Magnolia Springs Baptist Church. They've been around for over 150 years. They've got a great Bible-believing, Bible-teaching pastor down there. And look, here's your concern. If you have children enrolled in school, that means you're concerned about their academic education. And maybe you have them going to a private school, but what about their religious education? Are they getting an adequate religious education? Because they're not going to get it at school. And even some of these private schools are where you think they're getting it, they may not be getting it. But at Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at Theodore, the children are taught the Bible. They are taught Bible truths. And they're taught that they're not animals. They're taught that they are wonderfully created and knit in the womb by God. They are taught that they're special creations of God with the ability to have a personal relationship with their creator. They teach the children there are only two genders and with their own special characteristics designed by the creator to complement one another. They also teach the biblical morality to children that they should obey their parents. It starts, honor thy father and thy mother. Why don't you check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church, 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. They're down there halfway between I-10 and 90 on Theodore Dawes Road. Check them out this Sunday. Bring your children to Sunday school. You can attend one of their adult classes. They welcome homeschoolers. It's a great place to be. Check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church this Sunday. Look them up. There's a warm, loving welcome awaiting you at Magnolia Springs Baptist Church in Theodore, 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. Check them out. All right. You won't see in the news hardly anything about all of the audits going on from the 2020 election.
Oh, yeah.
There's hardly anything that you'll see. Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, is holding a cyber symposium, out of somewhere in South Dakota for 3 days. I think today was day two. And he's got unbelievable mountains of evidence and information where he exposes the truth and the big lie. And apparently they have lots of actual data where they show the votes that were cast, the raw data that they found versus...
Well, they're calling them receipts.
Yes.
It's like a forensic... They reworked it forensically backwards.
Yes.
And they have... all this evidence.
And I haven't found the website yet because I hadn't had a chance to really dig into it. But apparently there's a website.
It is. I have
and
it.
And you can check each state and it will tell you what was reported.
Yeah.
And certified, but what was initially recorded as the raw data.
Yeah.
And basically, all the states you thought Trump won, he won. And he's showing that up there. And look, and Mike Lindell's not the only one out there. There's
no.
a guy, Seth Keschel, in Pennsylvania, an Army intelligence officer who's been doing a deep dive. And he said in just five Pennsylvania counties, he found enough fraudulent votes to flip Pennsylvania. Wisconsin is naming a special counsel. I think we had talked about earlier, Arizona, there's 74,000 more mail-in votes than they mailed.
Right.
There was 11,000 people added to the voter rolls after the election, so their votes would count. I mean, this sort of fraud is crazy. And Tucker Carlson did a great job showing the Georgia double counting, where they were running the ballots through the machines
right.
multiple times. And also, a lot of the mail-in votes were printed and unfolded.
Oh, well, yeah.
What do you mean
yeah.
they were printed with just
put in a thing. Yeah.
A vote for Biden?
Yep.
And they were unfolded. So how were they mailing? How did they get mailed out and mailed back in if they were never folded and their stacks? All of this stuff is out there. In Detroit, they have a whistleblower just came out this week with hard evidence that in Detroit, in that main center where they were counting the votes,
yeah,
all those voting machines were connected to the internet.
Oh, yeah.
All connected. And we have all this evidence about the hacking and all that. This, I think the truth is going to come out. It is coming out. And I think there's going to be a preponderance of evidence that, yes, that election was stolen, no matter what Congressman Dan Crenshaw says in Texas. Apparently he came out.
Oh.
Yeah, he says.
What's wrong with him?
He told some supporters at some constituent meeting, don't kid yourselves, 2020 wasn't stolen. It's like.
Oh, yeah, and Larry Elder said the same thing.
Larry said it wasn't stolen or was?
Wasn't. I mean, he's like, it's fair and square. He's like, it was fair and square.
The guy running for California governor?
I think so.
The black guy running for
California? Yeah, it was shocking. I'll confirm.
You gotta confirm that one.
Because
that's really shocking.
It didn't seem right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But Dan Crenshaw, he's been
don't seem right lately.
Even though he's a former SEAL and all that stuff, he's been a little wobbly. But all of this it continues to come out. But here's the rub in all of it. What are we going to do?
Right.
What's anybody going to do?
It's never been.
I mean, it's just like
nothing to fall back on.
This is just like the Russian hoax thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 3 to 4 years, we had Democrats and deep state government bureaucrats running around going, President Trump is a Russian pawn, and he colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 election, blah, 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 blah. We all know now that is totally false. And we know now that we had people in our own government using DNC-funded dirt to precipitate an excuse to spy on their political enemies. No one was held accountable. No one has been held accountable so far. And this is where we're going with this. Here we are. That evidence is going to slowly drip drab out, and it's going to be a preponderance of evidence. Americans, most of them already know it, and many of them are becoming convinced that the election was stolen. But what will come of it?
Yeah. And I was right. I looked it up, and it says now he's trying to do some damage control about it. But, yeah, he said it. He said he believes he won it fairly and squarely.
Well, that was probably a wrong thing to say.
Well, yeah.
I'm kind of surprised Larry Elder said that.
Well, but we were just talking about how it feels like that with so many people who have some power, they're not coming out.
No,
it's
they're all hiding
like,
from
are
it.
They paying these people off? Like, nothing's adding up.
Well,
I mean, even with local school board superintendents, different. I mean, it's like, one minute you said this, and all of a sudden you're just on the other side.
Yeah.
Where is this coming from?
No,
it's weird.
Well,
yeah.
the only stretch I can think of is that some of the people in the highest levels of power know that it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, their excuses, they go, oh my gosh, okay, they got away with it. But what if we try to undo it?
They think
it will be worse, that
the
there will
be so much
a civil war, right?
The
Antifa will hit the streets. And that's why I think Antifa rioted all last year.
Yeah.
To make everybody believe, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to burn your cities down. And so that's what I have to wonder, that some of these people at the highest levels, they're like, oh, we're just going to have to turn a blind eye, because if we try to rectify this, it'll be worse.
But we can't do that now. That's why. And by the way, did you hear about Antifa torching the people in Portland that were praying?
Oh, yeah. No, they had a prayer rally
just,
at the river.
You can't even be
park.
In public now.
You can't even go have a prayer rally in a public park. Antifa will come and gas you and throw.
Yeah, there were children.
Pepper spray
at
you.
These people are evil. This is not just a political.
No, this is evil.
We're upset.
This
movement.
Is the atheists and communists attacking the Christians, and it's time to fight back. It's just ridiculous. All right, we got to squeeze a call in. Who do we got on line one? Hey, who do we have?
Hey, good evening. It's Deke here.
Oh, hey.
Oh, Deke,
yes.
Look, you hang on. We're going to get you on the other side of the break, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. I kind of thought he would call in early.
Yep.
He would be diligent.
Folks, he's got a special guest. He has some great information for us, so sit tight.
And we'll get on.
Yep.
But back on this with the Senate, but now the areas of the Maricopa County audit has not been released.
Right.
And, you know, we've been disappointed so many times, but the rumor is that it's going to be a bombshell, and it would be enough that Arizona might decertify their votes.
Yeah. And it only takes
now, that
the
doesn't
one.
Change the election.
Yeah, but
what if they
starts,
do?
Yeah.
What happens next?
Yeah.
It's, do other states follow? I mean, Wisconsin has appointed a
well,
special counsel.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And Georgia, yeah.
Did Georgia? Are they?
Yeah.
Is everybody going to look? Once one of them says, look, we looked at it, there's fraud.
And
isn't
we'll,
that enough right there to say, well, you know what, folks?
We better look
everybody at, needs to look.
Yeah. I mean, I think all 50 states. I mean, like, honestly, we could.
But
you know.
Will they? That's
no.
the big question.
Well,
do we have
question.
Any leaders that will do it, or they're going to say,
no.
Oh, we're just going to live with it and move on to the next election?
We could count
I mean,
on
it's
one
like
hand
if my truck
leaders.
Got stolen and I couldn't find it for a year, and I found the yep. guy, he had my truck, and he go, well, he's had it for a year. You want us to get it back now?
Exactly.
Yes,
that's
it's
a
my
great
truck.
Analogy. It's
so
still the
know.
Same sin.
None
yeah.
of it makes any sense. All right, we will be back with calls, text 251-343-0106. We got a special guest on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And at the bottom of the hour, bring aboard a very special sponsor. That's Mission First Mortgage. Look, the real estate market's still hot. So if you don't have pre-approved financing, qualified before you get out there with your mortgage in hand, you are probably going to miss the house that you want. So you need to go to Mission First Mortgage, get qualified, get pre-approved, have your financing letter. That way, when you go to the housing market, while it's hot, you're ready to pull the trigger, take that house down as soon as you see it. Go to Mission1STMortgageInc.com. That's Mission, the numeral 1STMortgageInc.com. Or just look, give Brian Dewberry a call at 251-289-1141. They are mission-focused, mission-oriented. Their mission is you. You're financing your dream home. Mission First Mortgage. Give them a call, 251-289-1141, and they bring you wit and wisdom from Ronald Wilson Reagan.
We consider sport to be one of the finest opportunities for people of all nations to come and to know and to understand each other. And in sport, nothing can match the competition of the Olympics. The Olympics provide the ultimate experience in watching athletes survive, strive through honest effort, fair play, discipline and determination to reach the top. Athletes know better than anyone that there's more, much more, to the Olympic experience than winning medals. It's the personal striving, the ability to achieve the fullest measure of human potential that counts most. Athletes look to their sport with a common mind, knowing that they will never go fast enough to say, this is as fast as we can go. There will always be a new standard to aim for. That last fraction of an inch, that extra second. Athletes all over the world live by the Olympic motto, swifter, higher, stronger. Olympics breed inspiration. Who will ever forget Jesse Owens' achievements in 1936, Bob Beamon's 29-foot, 2.5-inch broad jump in Mexico City. The thrill of striving for excellence in sports, as in other areas of our lives, fires our imagination, stirs us to dream great dreams, and often enables us to achieve them. By embracing the Olympic tradition, we have reason to look to the future with optimism and hope, because the Olympic spirit carries beyond the field of competition. Do we place too much emphasis on sports or expect too much of them? I don't think so. The Olympics were started more than 2,000 years ago to hopefully offer a substitute to the constant warfare between the city-states of Greece. They were revived on an international basis nearly a century ago, and again, the goal was peace and understanding. Let us keep that Olympic tradition alive in Los Angeles and resolve that the Olympic flame will burn ever brighter.
And there you have it. Whoa. That was Ronald Reagan, remarks at the White House ceremony in the 1984 Olympic torch relay, as they did, you know, the torch relay across the United States from Washington to Los Angeles, because the Olympics were in Los Angeles in 1984. And I picked this one because the Olympics are over, but I picked it to go with this week's column, Olympic Games Succumb to Virus and Wokeness. And because they're over, it ended last week. But it's kind of funny. Nobody seems to care. I mean, his quote made it sound, wow, that's pretty cool. I probably should have watched that, right? That sounds like a really great event. But it got to where it didn't seem like anybody watched it. Mm-hmm. Nobody cared because there was too much, you know, politicization and people telling us, our own athletes telling us our country sucked and they don't like our country. Nobody wanted to watch that. But there was a lot of great moments, and that's what the column is about, that first it succumbed to the virus because they didn't let anybody come. There were no spectators. So it's just not the same when you win the gold and there's nobody cheering.
Yeah.
And then the wokeness, you know, people turning their backs, crossing their arms, kneeling. You know, I mean, it even got where the women's soccer team actually got Americans to root against them.
Yeah.
And they came in with a run. But the one point I want to make in the column was there was one person, American wrestler Tamara Mensah-Stock, who may have saved the whole thing, because when she won the gold, she was ecstatic and ebullient and put on the American flag and talked about how proud she is to be an American and to represent America, and she thanked God, and she went viral.
She did.
That tells us
it's
still there. If the media and the leaders and the Olympic Committee and the athletes would realize it, we still love excellence, and we love patriotism. That's what it says. Go to RenewAmerica.com. Check it out, RenewAmerica.com. Olympic Games come to virus wokeness. Teresa, we've got a guest. There's a fight going on across the country about masks, right? Mm-hmm. And particularly masks in schools on your children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we keep reading about it. Oh, yeah, they're doing it in San Francisco and New York. We think it's everywhere else. But, hey, folks, it's here, too. So I'm going to let you introduce our guest, because he's versed in this battle in Baldwin County, folks.
Yep.
It's here.
Of all places. Yep. We had the privilege to be with Dr. Liu over in Baldwin County last Saturday morning. A room full of people, all parents and grandparents and just community members, you know, fired up about the fact these leaders can't even explain how they're justifying these mandates. And all of us just want the choice. So tonight we have almost an expert on the issue. He has done his homework, to say the least. He has an impressive resume, special duty officer, intelligence and cryptology, United States Navy, retired. Deek Cox is on the line. Are you still there, Deek? We've been having you hold.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Teresa.
Great. No problem. Fire away real quick. You know, just start out with some of the things you hit home with last Saturday morning in that room full of fired up parents.
Sure. So, you know, 2 weeks ago, Superintendent Baldwin County Schools, Eddie Tyler, had sent an email out to parents in Baldwin County stating that there would be no mask mandate. And this was a continuation of the cancellation back in March of the mask mandate in Baldwin County Schools. And so that was welcome. You know, there had been some of us, you know, many parents were anxious about that, students even more anxious. And, you know, as a father, single father, you know, three boys, in Baldwin County Schools, of course, I was deeply concerned as well. But about 3 working days later, on the 29th of July, Superintendent Tyler sent out another email. So again, this is just 3 working days after the original email. And in that email, he said, "Well, folks, get out your mask, right? And we're masking up because this Delta variant is scary." And he gave no real comprehensive metrics that would justify his decision. There's not been a board vote, by the full board of education board here. And then he had also not, gone public at the previous meeting or anything else, so it was opaque, and, there was no justification, no real data in there. If you read the email, he only cited, anecdotally, some feedback that he had received from, a doctor over at USA Health and just this kind of circuitous, the PEDS unit is almost full and, with no numbers, and
kind of vague. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was the genesis of, the ire, that really got, the spark that really got a lot of people's attention. But then, just a day or two later, when parents and concerned citizens showed up at a board meeting, and they were basically not given an opportunity to speak, and then escorted out of the facility by deputies. And so you can imagine, that is just not a good look for the Board of Education and Superintendent Tyler. And then, of course, we began mobilizing around the issue, not having had any say, and Superintendent Tyler not having provided any data or justification, to reinstate a mandate, that is terribly unpopular and also ineffective. And so, we have the data. I'll be happy to speak to that if you'd like to hear those numbers.
Yeah. Well, give just a few of the numbers, like, for instance, the death rates for children.
Sure. So, in his email, and I just want to be clear, that he basically made a couple of statements that, just really beg belief. And one of them was, where he basically said, it's not speculation. This has been evidenced by recent deaths of children from our area. Okay. And so, I don't know what area he's talking about, because I immediately went to the CDC website and pulled data from January 1st, 2020 to the end of July, 2021. So that's 19 months of data through this health crisis. And in the state of Alabama, Teresa, we have not lost one single child in the 17 and under age cohort. Okay, not one single child has died of COVID in the state of Alabama since this whole thing started back in January of 2020. So that's the first immediate statistic that just really jumps out at you.
And that's a big one. I've been following this forever too, and I'm just as hot and bothered about the whole thing. And again, why are we never hear these kind of numbers? We hear the vague things like, oh, the PICU's almost full. Well, when you really boil it down, how they make PICU numbers to start with, again, hospitals are meant to make money. And you had some great numbers about even that sometimes those numbers are so skewed just to scare people. And again, to date, where's this at now? Because school actually did start. Saturday was Saturday. It came and went. What's the hottest thing right now? What can people actually do today?
Sure. So, just to give you a little bit more background on that, we had, you may have seen the reporting out of Florida where CDC, was getting creative with the numbers out of Florida. They're trying to, they're really, mounting a campaign to make Governor DeSantis and his, policies, which are working, look bad and try and discredit him. So they've been funny with the numbers, and the state of Florida called them on it. And if you might want to read up on that story to just kind of get a feel for where we are in this culture war that's emerging around masking. But if parents and community members want to get involved, the best thing you can do is, contact Dr. Liu or anyone at CSC, Common Sense Radio, Common Sense Campaign. That is the number one thing that we need is we need people to mobilize around this issue. We need people to, contact, you know, representatives and let them know, you know, write, you know, Mr. Dave White, who's the senior policy advisor.
And there are some leaders, Stephanie Duren, there's some people, there's some Facebook groups. They do all the hard homework for you. You just have to be the keyboard warrior and cut and paste from your house and flood these inboxes. And that's really not, you know, I was telling someone, every American that sees what's happening, you need to carve out a minimum of 3 hours each week, more if you can do it. And I mean every citizen. And if you don't know what to do, you just start asking. But everybody, it is all hands on deck. And again, you can do a lot from your keyboard, from your phone. Up against a break. If you hold tight, we'll come back to you in just a sec. But thank you for calling. Thanks for the information so far.
Yeah. Hang through the break. We'll get a couple
sit
more.
Sit tight.
All right. We'll be right back with calls and texts, 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And once again, remember, if you're looking for a church home, you need to check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. Now is the time. You're not going to get it in the public education. A lot of the private education, you think they might be getting some Christian teaching, but they're not. You need to make sure your children are raised with a good moral foundation and a Christian foundation. And one of the best places to do that is Magnolia Springs Baptist Church. They will take care. They will help you, the parents, with the religious education. Check them out in Theodore at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. They're halfway between I-10 and Highway 90. They have great Sunday schools there for your children. They teach the children they are special creations of God and that they can have a special personal relationship with their Creator. You need to go down there and check them out. They don't teach all that wokeness or political correctness and all that stuff. Go check them out this Sunday. Put your kids. Have them try out their Sunday school. You try out their Sunday school. They got adult classes as well. A warm welcome awaits you with loving congregation, great Bible teaching preacher, Dave Ganella down there. Check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church this Sunday at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. Let's go back to Deke. Let's bring Deke back up. And Deke, one of the things I wanted to ask, doesn't this seem that all of this is these officials, whether in school officials or politicians, they don't know what to do. They're grasping at straws and they're just doing something to look like they're doing something about the problem. I mean, because I don't think they necessarily know what to do. They're grasping at straws. I mean, have you delved into that?
Yeah, Pete, it's pretty clear. So we're just finishing up over here with the Alabama Eagle Forum. And, you know, Teresa was asking, you know, what else can people do? And I didn't get to finish, you know, a full answer on that. But they, you know, Alabama Eagle Forum is a great one. But, the key thing with it is that we agree. I think that, you know, most people who are tracking this issue understand that, you know, that of course the superintendent, you know, has legal counsel and they're in the room, you know, as part of his senior staff. And of course, you know, he's going to be listening to the lawyer. And of course, what do lawyers do? They talk about risk and mitigating risk. And so, you know, when the governor punted, you know, on it, you know, not issuing a statewide, you know, ban on mask mandates, what she basically did was she put the decision right back down on your county, you know, superintendents of education. And so, you know, it's a challenge because these very large issues, you know, are not something that they're typically, you know, used to addressing, right? It's a hot potato issue. You know, they get pressed hard by a very loud, vocal minority. You know, and in some places, yes, you know, in some communities, you know, unfortunately, the majority, you know, where, you know, they're just not well informed. And, you know, and frankly, it's also a unfortunate display of heavy political bias that has so contaminated, you know, the discussion about fact and what is and is not happening to our children and to the people that we love and care about in our communities that, you know, that we've gotten so far away and science has been so discredited, you know, in this long-running, you know, crisis that that people just don't know what to believe. And so now,
exactly.
You know, unfortunately in that situation, it falls over to, you know, to the legal counsel, you know, to kind of have the last word on risk. And that's not where we need to be.
And they're always going to go for no risk, if at all possible. Let me ask you, what about the dangers of wearing a mask? CO2, oxygen deprivation and CO2 poisoning, because our engineer Ian worked at Walmart last summer, right? And Ian, didn't you say there was like 9 people had to be treated?
From our locations around Baldwin County, I remember the number was around 8 to 9 or so, roughly 9 associates had gone to the hospital, not because of COVID, but because of CO2 poisoning from wearing the mask
while they were working.
Right, for 8 to 9 hours a day, like 4 or 5 days a week.
Deke, do you have any data on that?
Sure. So, Pete, and thank you for the question. You know, there was a fantastic opinion piece written by Dr. Macri, you know, Professor Macri at Johns Hopkins in the Wall Street Journal this past week. And in that article, which I'll be happy to share with yourself and Teresa, if you'd like to share it with your listener audience and maybe post it on your Facebook page. You know, in that opinion piece, you know, he objectively, you know, is looking at, you know, the harm that masks cause. And so, you know, there is in the established literature, you know, scientific literature, the medical literature, he quotes and he cites several studies that, you know, that the wearing of masks has several concerns, right? It causes several concerns for practitioners. And one of those is, you know, that developmentally for our children, I mean, let's start with, you know, how they develop and how they, you know, at young ages, they read and interpret, you know, facial expressions and, you know, and when you're wearing a mask, obviously you can't do that. Then talk about, you know, some of the long-term health impacts, right? You talked about the CO2, you know, poisoning, which is, you know, what that would be, you know, if you're working in your body when you're laboring and such, you know, of course you're producing more carbon dioxide. And so, you know, that of course gets trapped, you know, under the mask, and yes, you know, it can definitely change airflow. Dr. Macri, you know, specifically talks about how it changes, you know, people's ability. They shift to breathing more through their mouth, which then causes their face, you know, to, you know, narrow and become more elongated over time, over continued use of these medical devices. And
right.
So, you know, it's a real problem. I mean, there are very real concerns about mask wearing, and especially in children.
Right. Deke, we're almost out of time. Where can we get more information? Where should parents go? Because we're just about out of time.
Sure. So a couple of quick resources. One, of course, is, coordinate through Common Sense Campaign, look at the Facebook pages and social media, but, you know, mobilize with, you know, Stephanie Durgan, you know, who was on earlier, I think, and get a yard sign, you know, write those letters, come out to the board meetings. We need to see, you know, we need the board members to
yeah,
see
that's
the
a big
silent
one.
Majority.
Just to be a warm body in the room. You don't even have to have anything to do or say. Just be there, and it speaks volumes to these politicians, for sure.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, Deke.
Thank you, Deke.
I have one request, and that is that here at the Alabama Eagle Forum, you know, we had the state rep, Becky Garrett, come down and speak tonight. And one thing I would like to encourage people to do is there's a group called Physicians for Alabamians that is working now with the Alabama Eagle Forum. And if you know a physician that is in possession of knowledge or data or facts that would benefit this fight that we're in, and this is a very critical fight, please refer them to the Alabama Eagle Forum and Becky Garrett and also Dr. Liu, you know, so that we can get them on board
right.
with this very important fight.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for all your work, Deke.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yep.
Really appreciate. Very important. It's in our own backyard. It's right now. How much time we got? Oh man, I was going to try
it?
To go to the. I'm sorry
no
to the caller
time.
That's been holding. I was trying to get in and see if we could squeeze in one last call, but we're out of time, folks. This is a huge issue, and it's our rights right here in front of us. And it's in our hometowns, and if we don't start resisting now, this will never end. I mean, this is ridiculous. With half the nation vaccinated, over half the nation vaccinated, it's summertime. How is this stupid thing surging?
It's a great question.
There is something wrong here. We're not being told everything, and we need to keep asking those questions. Folks, thank you for joining us. Check me out on MeWe and the other 18 people that are on there. Honey, it's time to come home.